The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, Kennedy, Hugh Hewitt, and live from California this morning. President Biden addressed the UN yesterday. Not much there. In fact, the best summary of President Biden was provided by Senator Tom Cotton, cut number 19.
Joe Biden walked into the United Nations today and put a giant kick me sign on Uncle Sam's back. He claimed that he didn't want a new Cold War with China. The leaders in Beijing are laughing at Joe Biden in America right now because they've been waging a Cold War against us for decades, stealing our jobs by the millions, infiltrating our high-tech businesses and our universities with spies, building a military that one day might compete with our own. And Joe Biden not only says that we're not in a Cold War and that he'll fight to win it, he literally would not use the name China. He was like a scared child from a Harry Potter novel who wouldn't say Voldemort's name because he was afraid about what might happen. And that's to say nothing of the betrayal of our partners in Afghanistan or our allies who now question our resolve, or the fact that on Israel, the main point he made was trying to get Israel to go back into negotiations with Hamas, which controls much of the Palestinian people's territory, and just a few months ago was launching missiles at Israel at the very time when his party in Congress was yanking billions of dollars to refund the Iron Dome missile defense system. Yeah. Martha, that's a defensive system. It's not used by for offensive purposes by Israel. It's used to protect innocent civilians inside of Israel. And Joe Biden says you need to sit down and negotiate with those Hamas terrorists. This was a disgraceful, approach.
So Senator Cotton does a very nice job of summarizing what President Biden did, which was embarrass America yesterday and sound incoherent. I have one clip I just laughed at when I read it. Cut number 29.
We've ended 20 years of conflict in Afghanistan. And as we close this period of relentless war, we're opening a new era of relentless diplomacy.
A new era of relentless diplomacy. Right. That's what he calls it. Retreat, disarray, collapse at the border, America embarrassed, America shamed. At home, it's not much better. The Hill, let's do the rundown. House passes bill to prevent shutdown and suspend debt limit. Unfortunately, the Senate's not going to pass that because the House and the Senate cannot agree. The Democrats in the House and the Democrats in the Senate cannot agree on what ought to go into the reconciliation bill. So the United States is facing default, which will risk the full faith and credit of the United States. And they are trying, instead of reconciling their differences between House Democrats and House Senate, they run everything. They're trying to blame Republicans. Not going to work. Politico. President Biden finds few good options or allies on Haitian migrant buildup. Oh, what a surprise. Nobody likes 15,000 people walking under a bridge in Texas over the Rio Grande. Biden set to play peacemaker for warring Democratic factions. Also a headline in Politico. They're going to have Joe Biden figure it out. Oh, nicely played. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, nicely paid. Also from Politico, Democrats fear Biden's domestic agenda could implode. That's because the squad and the crazies in the House can't agree with Bernie Sanders to agree with Maggie Hassan and other Democrats, moderate Democrats like Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, on what to put into the reconciliation to which the debt ceiling raise must be attached. And so we're going to have a default because Democrats are in disarray. Meanwhile, from the Washington Post, amid furor over border images, Biden faces Democratic backlash on immigration. Turns out that the crazies in the House want even more parades of people across the Rio Grande. 15,000 is not enough. They want 30, 60, 90,000. As you heard Senator Cotton say, Democrats yesterday voted to halt a $1 billion subsidy of the Iron Dome. From the Iron Dome. That's what Israel uses to protect itself from terrorist attacks from Hamas in the south and Hezbollah in the north. Iron Dome. The squad stopped it. Way to go, squad. Squad wins symbolic victory on Iron Dome funding. This is from the Times of Israel. Like I say, you really love the Democrats being in charge of everything, right? Haitian migrants revolt in custody, seize control of privately contracted bus. The Biden administration superbly operated Department of Homeland Security, brought a bus to take the very few Haitians they're going to send back to Haiti, put them on the bus, and drove away. The Haitians decided, why don't we take over the bus, and then we'll run away, which is exactly what they did. Well played, HHS. Some new tech, high-tech stories. Google's going to buy a New York City office building for $2.1 billion. We know who's running the country. J&J says the COVID-19 vaccine booster 2 months after the first shot is helpful. That means it's really a two-shot vaccination. But no one will get J&J because the Biden administration screwed up its rollout. I hope they approve that. I hope they also approve the booster immediately. Apple is working on iPhone features to help detect depression and cognitive decline. I think they may want to keep that one out of the White House. No more apologies inside Facebook's push to defend its image. I'll come back to this story later. Facebook continues to, honestly, Mark Zuckerberg's a smart guy. I've met him a couple of times, had dinner with him a couple of times. He's a very smart guy. He's got to fire everybody who's given him advice. Because for a very smart guy, he's got like the C team or the D team working for him. Facebook's oversight board demands clarity on rules for high-profile users. Mark thought this was going to be the deal. He'd have his own Supreme Court and people would listen to it. His own, quote, Supreme Court is rebelling against him. Again, fire everyone, Mark. Future of nuclear talks with Iran remains uncertain as Tehran expands enrichment activities. Did you hear that? What a surprise. The Iranians are cheating. Future of nuclear talks with Iran remain uncertain as Tehran expands enrichment activities. It's a Washington Post story. So Iran is back building a bomb. That means I think around January, Israel's just going to blow up everything. I really do think that's going to happen. It's not going to be Netanyahu. The Democrats won't be able to blame Netanyahu. Israel will not let Iran have a bomb. Biden might try and stop them. That's what the president does. He doesn't much care for Israeli defense, and the Democrats don't want them to have Iron Dome. The Israelis are not going to accept Iranian crazies with a bomb. In UN debut, Iran's new president rails against U.S. sanctions and, wait for it, denounces Israel. They had an earthquake in Australia. It was 4.9. That's not really an earthquake. And I say to the Australians, aren't you embarrassed to have this as a headline, 4.9? That's not really an earthquake if you live in California. United Kingdom is pinning their hopes on joining the U.S., Mexico, and Canada trade pact because Joe Biden's screwing that up, too. There isn't anything he doesn't screw up. I mean, I hate to be hard on the guy. He's an old guy, and he's, you know, had to go to New York yesterday, so he's really tired. Did he try and tell the Amtrak story yesterday, Dwayne? Did I see that in the clips? Did he actually try and tell the Amtrak story again?
Yes, he did a two-shot or a two-by-two sitting in the chair in the Oval with Boris Johnson. Boris came down from Turtle Bay on the Acela. Joe flew back to the White House, and when they got to the Oval, Joe says, "Hey, Boris, I heard you took the Amtrak down.
No,
Let me tell you about Joey. Let me tell you about Joey Baby."
Oh, that's just not true. Let's listen to that.
There is nothing true about that.
Cut number 25.
Understand, Boris, I just want you to know, Boris, you came down on Amtrak, is that right?
I did, and you're a living deity.
I traveled millions of miles. You think I'm joking?
They love you.
Well, they should. I travel more on Amtrak. I think if I were a conductor, I'd be number one in seniority. I got to tell you a quick story. It has nothing to do with anything. When I was vice president, the Secret Service didn't like me traveling on Amtrak because there were too many options for people to cause trouble along the way. But I insisted I do it. And one day they put in the newspaper, Biden travels 1 million, I think, don't hold me to the exact number, I think it was 350,000 miles on Air Force Two. And so I walking up to the getting the train on that Friday, and a guy who was the number three guy from New Jersey on seniority as a conductor walked up and grabbed me and he goes like this, "Joey baby," grabbed my cheek. I thought the Secret Service was going to shoot him. And I said, no, he's a friend. He said, "Joey, big deal. 1,300,000 miles on Amtrak, I mean on Air Force Two. You know how many miles you travel on Amtrak?" I said, "No." He said, "With the retirement dinner. We worked it out."
He said, 36 years in the Senate, X number of years at that point as vice president, average 131 days a year, 257 miles a day. Joe, you traveled over 2 million miles. Big deal.
Yeah, Boris Johnson has fallen asleep at this point. It's not true. None of it's true. I'll be right back. Joey Biden. Joey. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined by United States Senator Marsha Blackburn of the great state of Tennessee. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
I want to review for the audience, because the media is getting this wrong, why Republicans will not vote to raise the debt ceiling. So I have to go back to the budget bill. Am I correct that the massive budget bill put together by Bernie Sanders passed with just 51 votes? Every Democrat, not one Republican, voted for it?
You're exactly right. And what you have to go back even to the beginning of COVID and look at how we approached this. And even though I kept saying the spending is too much, there was bipartisanship under President Trump and under Leader McConnell. But what you have with Biden in the White House and Pelosi and Schumer in charge is they're doing everything on a party line vote. They are the party of party line votes. So they're now saying Republicans have to pay, help us pay for all of this out of control spending, the $7 trillion that we've been spending. Oh, you have to help us raise the debt limit. And, you know, this is the mess that they've created. And no, we don't. What we need is some fiscal sanity.
So I love that line, Senator. They are the party of party line votes. I'm going to use that in a column. So having passed their $3.5 trillion budget, in addition to their $1.5 trillion earlier spending spree this year, the House has agreed we will spend $3.5 trillion. And they have not agreed yet on what to spend it on or how many taxes to raise in order to spend it. Am I right about that? The Democrats can't get their act together.
You're right about that. They just know they want to spend money, money, money. What they're trying to do is put in place all of these benefits and entitlements. They would literally destroy Medicare. The Medicare Social Security Trust Fund has already told us, hey, we're about to go upside down on these numbers. People can go to go online and read the annual report for themselves. But, you know, Hugh, what they're doing is trying to push us to the point that you have more government control over individuals' lives every single day, less individual freedom. They're trying to push businesses to the point that they say, we can't stay in business and make a profit, therefore we're going to shut the doors. So this is the way they're inserting government control. And they think if they put all these programs in place, then when they lose in the midterm elections, we won't be able to get the programs off the books.
But I do want the audience to understand the inanity of what they are asking Republicans to do. They rolled the Republicans. You're right. They are the party of party line votes. They rolled the Republicans on the spending bill. They rolled the Republicans on the budget bill. The House rolled the House Republicans on the budget bill. Now they have to agree on what to tax and how much to spend. And when they do agree on that, they could attach that a debt limit hike and it all could pass 51-50. They can't agree, but the debt limit hike is necessary now. So they want the Republicans to pass the debt limit hike. Am I correct? Not one Republican will go along with this charade.
You're correct. There's not going to be a Republican that will give them a vote on this. This is absurd, ridiculous.
So I want to explain this to the Steelers fans. And you understand, Senator, we have Steelers fans, so we slow down for them. And it's as if the Steelers were behind 9 points with 2 minutes to play, and somehow they miraculously score a touchdown, and so they do an onside kick, and they don't recover it. The Browns have the ball. And they call a timeout, and they ask the Browns to punt. Not so that they can score, they say. Just punt. Give us the ball back to give us a shot at winning. They want, the Democrats, want the Republicans to punt on the debt limit so that they can try and score and get their act together. Am I correct in my analogy? That's what they want you to do?
You know, I think that's a pretty good analogy. And see, the thing is, they don't want to be blamed for this. Look at every decision Joe Biden has made, and look at how upside down his poll numbers are, and thereby how upside down the Democrats are with how they have led or not led since they took control. People are astounded, whether it is the out-of-control border, whether it is Afghanistan, how they have handled COVID, the rate of inflation that is taking place. And these are not the kind of things that the American people are wanting to see. When I'm talking to Tennesseans, you know, they're just going, wait a minute, this is not, we didn't vote for Bernie Sanders. And this is basically what you're getting, is a socialistic agenda being forced on the American people. And now the Democrats are saying, all right, come on, Republicans, you have to help us with this debt limit so we can't be blamed for it. And you've got a lot of Republicans like me that are saying, no, you're in this by yourself.
Yeah, we're not going to punt. We're not going to punt. We're going to try and win the game. And if you want to get together, you can go agree.
Joe Biden is the build back broke agenda. And people are recalling really fast how they felt under Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
So do they have a shot of getting their act together? Because, you know, I don't want the country to default, but I don't want one Republican to be stupid enough to involve themselves in the destruction of the country's currency, inflation spiral. I don't want you to be complicit, and you'll be complicit if you raise the debt ceiling, because that will give them more time to figure out how to screw the country.
Well, and it gives them more wiggle room on money to go spend. See, as long as we say, nope, no way we're going to pass this budget with you, which $3.5 trillion really is closer to $5.5 trillion when you look at all of these giveaway programs that they're trying to put in place. And you just have to say, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to go there. So it is time to start taking these things away from the Democrats, because
every media outlet wants to blame the Republicans for the coming government shutdown and the debt limit brinksmanship. Every single one. I don't think you should care. I think you should use the punting analogy and say, they rolled us, and we're not going to help them roll us again. I think the American people understand games, they understand sports, and they understand not helping the other team win. And they don't care if the other team says, but they're cheating. When you're not cheating, you're just not going to get rolled again.
Well, and the thing is, you know, when you look, they have a pattern of history on the spending. Look at what they did under the Obama years. They basically doubled the nation's debt. You had our nation's debt when George W. Bush walked out of the Oval Office and turned it over to Barack Obama. Our nation's debt was at $10.6 trillion. And 8 years later, what do you have? You're up north of $20 trillion in debt. This is what Joe Biden and Barack Obama did when they were in the White House. They doubled the nation's debt. And so now, with the spending that they've done, Hugh, we're pushing $30 trillion in debt. And if he continues this for the rest of a four-year term, by the time we get to the end of the century, we're going to be north of $40 trillion in
debt. It's not sustainable now. As soon as interest rates go up, they will eat up the entire budget.
That's correct. Hold the
line, Senator Blackburn. And I'm sure you'll have a caucus meeting today or tomorrow. Just stand up and say, explain it. Say no, 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 no. The American people get it. Just say no, no, no. We're not playing your games. We're not going to get rolled again. In fact, I think the Republicans will be very upset if the Republicans in the Congress get rolled again. Do you agree with me? Last question. Do you think the Republicans will be mad at the Republicans who are elected if you get rolled again?
Of course they're going to be upset. They want the Republicans to all vote no. And that's the way it went through the House. I think that's the way you're going to see it go through the Senate. The Democrats are determined to spend us into oblivion and into a socialistic state. And we're pushing back and saying, oh, no.
Oh, no. Well done. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, thank you for joining me this morning. Don't go anywhere, America. Live, it's Hugh Hewitt. I'll be right back. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Wish upon wish and dreams come true, but not for me. The trains and the boats and planes took you away.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Congressman Mike Gallagher, Green Bay Packers fan. And this week I have a football question for him, a football analogy. Are you ready, Congressman Gallagher?
I'm ready.
All right. So the Browns are ahead of the Steelers by 9 points on the shores of Lake Erie with 2 minutes to go. And somehow ancient Big Ben leads the Steelers on a drive and a two-point conversion. But the time is running down. They've got 30 seconds left, and now they're only down 1 point. The Steelers try an onside kick. The Browns get it. So they cannot get the ball back. So Ben calls a timeout, and Mike Tomlin and Ben go over to see Kevin Stefanski, and they ask him to punt. And he says, why? And they say, well, we'd like it to be a better game. We'd like a chance to score again. Now, here's your football question. You are a Green Bay Packers fan, so I don't know if you're going to get it right. Would the Browns agree to punt at that point?
No.
Right. So why would the Republicans agree to pass the debt hike ceiling? Because the Democrats cannot organize themselves to get their spending and tax plans together. Why would you ever do that?
The only reason they would do it is if they were as inept as the Cleveland Browns, which I hope in this case they are not.
Well, you meant the Steelers. You meant the Steelers.
Yeah, both. I mean, it's the whole division. It's just, the whole thing is absurd. Think about this. We've been in session for 3 days of the last 7 weeks. And so now Speaker Pelosi is coming to us saying we need to pass a last-second continuing resolution and then add on to that a debt ceiling increase. It's not even a debt ceiling increase, really. It's just a – it absolves the debt ceiling until December of next year. The whole thing is insane, and no Republican should participate in the Democrats' nonsense right now. They have the votes, theoretically, to pass this on their own. They're just trying to use us to get some political cover because they're going to try and ram through Bernie Sanders' socialist spending spree. This is Lucy and Charlie Brown with the football. To extend and sort of make your analogy even more cartoonish, don't fall for it, Republicans. Do not fall for this ruse. It's
well, they crazy. Are treating you like lab mice. They think the Republicans are like lab mice. And having rolled you and abused you on the budget bill, and they did. There was not one Republican vote for the Senate budget bill. There was not one Republican vote for the House budget bill. They now think you're going to help raise the debt limit so that they can roll you again. It is incredible. And here's the worst part. The media are reporting it as though you're the bad guys.
I mean, the legacy media is thoroughly corrupt. But if you think about it, you dig into it, really what they think is they can fool the American people. They think the American people are stupid enough to believe this stuff. And they can at the same time, they are the ones passing through trying to pass a historic level of spending, right? We have the $2 trillion coronavirus bill. We have the $1 trillion infrastructure bill. And then we have the $3.5 trillion blowout where, you know, everybody gets a Tesla and it funds every Green New Deal priority under the sun. They're doing that. They are not operating in a bipartisan way. The president is bragging about passing the most progressive legislation since the New Deal. And now they're trying to blame us for the budget situation we're in. It's insane. The media being compliant with it is also insane, though unexpected. And again, just no Republican should fall for this.
So my question is, will they, because I think the Republicans are going to refuse to punt. I think they're going to be like the Browns and the Stefanski says, no, we're going to win the game. We're not going to punt. We're going to take a knee and we're going to run the clock out. I think the Republicans are going to run the clock out. And I'm glad they are. Will then the Democrats be able to figure out what to pass? Will they have to go to the Manchin version, the least common denominator of the Democrats on taxes and spending, and pass that with a debt hike?
Well, it's clear that the Senate is going to reject the continuing resolution that we passed with no Republican participation, thankfully, last night. There just aren't the votes in the Senate for it. And I think even some Democrat leaders have said it's dead on arrival. So I do think that will force them to come up with an alternative approach. But that will really continue to put Pelosi in a difficult position because she has a moderate faction that in the past she's crushed and forced to comply with her more progressive impulses, pitted against the squad wing of the party, which I think is driving their agenda right now. And right now, it's hard for me to see how she sequences this in a way that keeps all of her members on board. So I really don't know what Pelosi is going to do in the next couple weeks. And again, I just hope that no Republican participates in all of this. And then, Hugh, I don't know if you saw yesterday, but you know, we were set to vote on the rule for the continuing resolution in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, the House floor went radio silent. And we learned that they had pulled the bill because when the progressives saw the text of the continuing resolution, they saw $1 billion for Iron Dome funding for Israel, which is a joint venture, by the way, between the United States and Israel. It's a defensive piece of machinery that benefits us as well as our closest ally in the Middle East. But the progressives hate Israel, and so the Hamas caucus tanked it. They took the bill back. They had to take the $1 billion for Iron Dome out of the bill, and then we voted on it later that night. It's just crazy what's happening in the House of Representatives right now.
I'm amazed that enough Democrats went along to take – I guess they can only lose four. So if the squad refuses to vote for something, they get it out.
Yeah. The squad is holding everybody hostage right now.
The important thing for Republicans to understand, this is a messaging battle. All they have to do is message that they broke it, they bought it. It's their bill. They jammed the budget down. They can pass a debt limit. They can pass a tax and spend measure. All they have to do is agree among themselves. They don't need one Republican. Thanos has arrived and he wants a battle with the Avengers, and the Avengers aren't showing up. You're the Republicans. You're not going to play. Will they stick to messaging? It's up to the message is very simple. Democrats broke it. They bought it. They have to fix it. Can the Republicans stay on message?
I hope so. It's going to require a lot of discipline, but we have to do that. I mean, we have offered numerous bipartisan outreaches to the speaker and her team. You know, we should have done this whole process through regular order, gone committee by committee, passed 12 separate appropriations bills. But the fact is, as I said before, the squad is driving the train, and everything is being sacrificed to the altar of the Bernie Sanders socialist spending spree. I mean, I think Pelosi... I mean, this is her last hurrah, and she wants to go out with a bang, and she wants to cement her legacy. And so she's going to try and jam through as much as possible. And I think there's a lot of Democrats right now who are quite frankly afraid of all of the energy coming from the far left. And let's hope that some Democrats in the Senate, particularly Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, stand their ground. But Republicans need to be disciplined. This is no time for us to be complicit in their games. We need to stand up for the American people, and particularly in light of all the other crises and manifest failures we're seeing from the Biden administration, whether it's the complete absence of security on the southern border. We have an out of control crisis on the southern border, whether it's the ongoing failures of U.S. foreign policy owing to our surrender in Afghanistan and all of the lies, quite frankly, that the president told at the U.N. General Assembly yesterday. You know, we need to be disciplined right now, because the Democrats from the White House and certainly Democrats in Congress are simply not operating in a way that has the best interest of the American people in mind.
So I want to emphasize something. Nancy Pelosi will shut down the government next week. The government will run out of money. She will blame the Republicans. Chuck Schumer will blame the Republicans. In fact, the Republicans need to say the Democrats have the vote to pass a budget, fund the government, raise the debt limit. They just have to agree on what to do. We are not responsible for the government being shut. And the media is going to say the Republicans have shuttered the government. It's not 4 years ago. It's not 6 years ago. It's actually got nothing to do with the Republicans. You're just not playing this game. Will the Republicans endure the heat from the media that you shuttered the government, even when you didn't shutter the government, and simply respond, not our fault, we're not involved in this?
We have to. I mean, we can't be intimidated by the media. I mean, this is just a cut and dry case. I understand there were some past government shutdowns that were more complex than this, but to me, this is an easy one. We have to stay strong, stand our ground. We can't be bullied by the legacy media. We certainly can't be bullied by the far left. This is a time to stand our ground, and I think have faith in the common sense of the American people. Again, as I said at the outset, I do think the Democrats are playing a cynical game that depends on their ability to fool the American people. And I have faith in the common sense of the American people. And I think they can see through the entire game.
They're going to shut the Washington Monument. They're going to shut Mount Rushmore. They're going to close post offices. They're going to threaten people's Social Security that doesn't stop going. They're going to say we're going to default, and they're going to blame the Republicans. And the Republicans just have to say the same thing. The Democrats have the vote to fix this. It's all they got the majority. Yeah. They wanted it. That's all you have to say. It's there. But your members can't say anything else. I mean, they just have to. It's not us. It's them. They have the majority. Can they actually stay on message?
Well, I don't, you know, when it comes to the discipline of 200 some odd members of Congress, I can't promise every single one is going to act perfectly. I'll do my part, Hugh, however. So
the Browns would not punt. The Browns could stay on message. The Packers would fold, but the Browns wouldn't fold.
The now victorious Green Bay Packers, as my shirt says, you got to shovel your own snow. You got to stay disciplined, Hugh. You got to handle your own affairs. Now is the time for Republicans to step up and show that we are the adults in the room on domestic policy, on foreign policy. We cannot afford two more years of Democrat control of the country. At a minimum, we need to take back the House, pull the emergency brake, and prevent some of this nonsense from going on, because
it will be your responsibility in a year. It's not your responsibility right now. Congressman Mike Gallagher, good to see you. By the way, our mutual friend, Captain Vandroff, tells me there is no snow in Wisconsin. It's like the Minnesota people. It's all a myth. You just don't want people to come up there and use your lakes.
In September, there is no snow.
There's no snow. You people have been lying for years. It's just a myth. You know, he told me he's from Maryland. He's a Florida guy. He says it's as warm there as it is in Florida. Congressman, be well. Thank you.
Check back in February.
Yeah, I will check with him. Let me tell you, folks, don't forget this. ReliefFactor.com. If you're going to shovel your own snow, even though there's no snow in Minnesota, cold, or Wisconsin, it's all a lie. I went up to Minnesota in the winter. There was no snow. And Vandroff tells me there's no snow in Green Bay. It's a CGI green screen effect. There is no snow. But ReliefFactor.com, for places where there is snow, like Ohio, if you're going to shovel your own snow, get ReliefFactor.com. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. On October 13th, my next guest, Brian Westbury of First Trust Portfolio, and I are going to be in Atlanta at the Atlanta History Center with Alfredo Ortiz of the Job Creators Network and Herschel. Herschel Walker is going to join us as we talk about the Biden inflation. And you can get your tickets for that at am920theanswer.com, am920theanswer.com. And they are selling fast, especially because people love Brian and they really love Herschel. And they kind of like me and Alfredo. But we will be able to tell you then what's going to happen with the debt limit. Brian Westbury, I've just been pointing out that there is no way the Republicans ought to agree to raise the debt limit in order to allow the Democrats to get their act together on how to spend $3.5 trillion. Do you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely. Hugh, do you remember, a little over 10 years ago that, people in politicians were walking around Washington, D.C. with the Lehman Brothers head on a pike?
Yes.
And claiming that, capitalism was irresponsible when it came to fiduciary responsibilities. Well, guess what? Now the government, all they want to do is spend and print and spend and print. And this is, I don't necessarily like having a debt ceiling on government, but what's great about it is it does provide a governor, so that a governor meaning it slows the process down. It makes them have
a
an
break.
Embarrassing vote,
yeah, a break.
Break. Because we need to pause, and that's the word that Joe Manchin used when he was saying, I'm not going to vote for this crazy $3.5 trillion thing. We need to pause every once in a while. And so this is fantastic, and I don't think Republicans should help one bit. I think if Democrats really want to spend the country into massive, massive debt that it doesn't need at this point, let them do it on their own and then let them face the ballot box. And I think that's one of the key things that's happening today is it's all falling apart. And every day the clock ticks closer and closer to November 2022, and every day the pressure builds. And I think we can get out of all of this, believe it or not, with no tax hikes and with no massive new Green New Deal. I think that's my hope right now. And I think if we do, it's not going to stop inflation, by the way, but it will keep the market from tanking.
It's also going to keep inflation from getting worse. Now, all they have to do is say when the government shuts down, not our fault. You broke it. All I have to say when the debt limit is reached, and I don't believe Yellen, by the way, I don't think the government is going to stop printing money. I really don't. But if they do and they say our full faith and credit is injured, the markets will instantly say, well, that's a temporary pause. And they won't crash, Brian. They won't.
Right.
But even if they do, the Democrats can fix it in one day. They have the authority to fix it. I just am telling every Republican who listens, do not have no complicity in this crime against fiscal sanity.
Absolutely not. And here's the deal. When you officially reach the debt ceiling, so the Treasury has finally issued the last dollar of bonds and they're up against the ceiling, the government, remember, I was the chief economist of the Joint Economic Committee of Congress back in the 1990s. I've studied this stuff. Newt Gingrich shut the economy down back then. All right. So the government can operate for months and months and months and months past that. There's all kinds of tricks to borrow from the transportation fund, to borrow from Social Security. I mean, none of it's good, or is it fiduciarily responsible? But this idea that the minute the dollar ticks up to the top and then everything goes bankrupt, that's not true. There's all kinds of tricks the Treasury can use. So this idea that we have a looming catastrophe, which Janet Yellen said, it's the real catastrophe is all this government spending and money printing.
And the Republicans do not have to be complicit in it, because the Democrats can actually increase the debt limit, They can pass a supplemental. They can raise any taxes that they want. They can spend as much money as they want with 51 votes. The problem is they can't agree among themselves because not all of them are insane.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's enough in the House. And the interesting things, a lot of the progressives in the House, they won't go along with normal things. So with sane things. And so it's the part when Mitch McConnell, you know, a lot of people were mad at Mitch McConnell for letting the first infrastructure bill go through. I don't know how he could have stopped key Republicans for voting for that anyway. But tossing that into the House was like a hand grenade, because ever since then, the House has been in an uproar, progressives against moderates, and they can't get anything out. Or that the Senate will pass. So, yes, it's in their lap. It's all up to them. We'll find out if they're reckless and completely crazy about economics or not.
By October 13th, when Brian and I and Herschel are in Georgia with Alfredo Ortiz and the Job Creators Network, we will know the answer, and Brian will explain it all to you. But you got to get your tickets. AM920TheAnswer.com at the Atlanta History Center. AM920TheAnswer.com at the Atlanta History Center. Brian and I want to do this all over the country because I believe an educated electorate about the economy is the greatest bulwark against the Democrats. Honestly, I would, if I were the Republican Party, I would just put Westbury on retainer and keep him on the streets every day preaching sanity. I'll be right back. Hour number three, Dr. Robert Jeffress is next. America on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
The lost secret notebook of Nikola Tesla with his most dangerous formulas could fall into the hands of evolutionary elite scientists.
His most amazing discoveries thought to be written in a lost journal. In the right hands, it could revolutionize the 21st century.
They want to start a new world order where elites rule and everyday people are not created equal.
Look out!
Now the elites plan to set off an earthquake under L.A. to take out world leaders.
There's an old brown battered notebook in my office at work. You have to find it, take it, and keep it hidden at all costs.
Let's just say there are a lot of enemies of the state interested in his research.
It's up to regular people to stop them. A grad student, a campus cop, a deaf army vet, and a group of live-action role players.
A vertical quake this size could collapse half of Dontop.
Catch Final Frequency, playing exclusively on SalemNow.com or download the mobile app. For more information, visit FinalFrequencyFilm.com.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live. I am always into using John Andrzejczyk's Story of Your Life as my opening bump because it's an encouragement song. Just the story of your life is unfolding. Make sure you make it a good story. You know who shares that belief? Pastor Robert Jeffress. Now, you may know Pastor Robert Jeffress from the radio. You may attend his church in Texas. You may have heard him preach on occasion. You may know he was a big supporter of Donald Trump and is. But he's also an author, and he has a new book coming out called Invincible, which I've got the pre-publication in my hand. I'm showing you if you're watching me on YouTube. And I love this because it's a book about encouragement. And I asked Pastor Jeffress to join me because a lot of people need encouragement and they need a plan. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. Great to be with you.
This is an encouraging book. It's really overdue. Did you find yourself surrounded by COVID-fatigued people in your congregation who needed a lift up?
Absolutely. You know, Hugh, in the Bible, mountains are symbolic of the obstacles that stand between us and God's blessings in our life. And that's why I subtitled the book Invincible, Conquering the Mountains That Separate You from the Blessed Life. And after 18 months of COVID and political unrest and racial division, I mean, people have been overcome with grief or loneliness, fear or worry. And in this book, I talk about how to conquer those mountains. You know, Jesus said, if you have the faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And he wasn't speaking literally, but he was speaking truthfully. And these mountains that we're all facing, Hugh, we can conquer them without allowing them to conquer us. And that's what I talk about in the book.
The Wall Street Journal had a story over the weekend, Pastor Jeffress, that stated that Americans are angrier and crankier and more quick to get into an argument and cause a scene in an airplane or a restaurant or a supermarket store than in history. They're just worn out and fatigued. To which I respond, we actually have no real problems in America compared to people in Afghanistan who are looking at the Taliban trying to kill them, and that's useful to remember. But it's just also a religious obligation for people who are Christians not to be that way, correct?
Oh, that's exactly right. And Hugh, it's been a little bit discouraging for me as a pastor to see, you know, evangelical Christians kind of at the forefront of a lot of this division. And look, you know, we can have disagreements about issues like the vaccines or other things that are going on. But look, you know, I like what St. Augustine said. He said, in the essentials, unity, in the non-essentials, liberty, but in all things, charity. We don't have to be mad and hateful and foaming at the mouth to have a difference of opinion.
I also like early in Invincible, you write about the, quote, grandeur of your life, close quote. And you talk about your father being an amateur mountaineer. Now, I've climbed exactly one mountain in my life, Mount Sherman. Almost killed me, Pastor. I don't get people who climb mountains. But I'm glad I did it, and I'm sure you admired your father for doing it. But you do get some pretty good looks when you're up there. And so is that what you're talking about, the grandeur of your life? When you look at it, it really is a great deal we've got going.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so many times we look at our problems and we measure them by our own strength and ability instead of by God's greatness. And I think that causes fear. That's one of the mountains I talk about conquering in our life. You know, the tallest building in the world is 2,700 feet. It's in Dubai. And it's a big building, but compared to Mount Everest, 29,000 feet, it's a molehill. And I think one reason we get fearful as Christians or worried as we look at the challenges we face and we compare them to our own strength and ability, we ought to compare our challenges to the power of God and understand his grandeur. It gives us a whole new perspective.
Let me give people the quick rundown of your approach. Moving from doubt to faith, moving from guilt to repentance, moving from anxiety to peace, moving from discouragement to hope, moving from fear to courage, moving from bitterness to forgiveness, moving from materialism to contentment, big one, moving from loneliness to companionship, moving from lust to purity, and then moving from grief to acceptance. Now, this is clearly a pastor's book, by a pastor, for pastors, and the people that they pastor. But it's based upon life experience. How many years have you been pastoring, Pastor?
About 43 years.
So you've run into a lot of sad people.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the things we talk about. You know, the last chapter is about moving from grief to acceptance. You know, over these 18 months, a lot of your listeners have lost important things or people to them through death, the loss of a job, other losses. And the question they ask me is, Pastor, when will we ever go back to feeling normal? And the fact is, we'll never go back to normal. There's a new normal, though, that we can experience. And, you know, I tell people grief is a lot like going into a dark tunnel. The bad news is it's dark, it's lonely, it's frightening. The good news is once you've started in, you're already on the way out. You know, the psalm said, sorrow endures the evening, but joy comes in the morning.
Now, if I had a producer, we would go out with the song Red Rubber Ball, because that one is, you're probably old enough to remember that. Hey, the things are going to work out. The sun's going to come up. Invincible is very much that kind of a book. But I want to close by talking especially, you know, my audience is younger than most talk show audiences. My audience is mostly 70% have a child in the house, so they're not going to get this. But for the 30% that are older, it's been really rough on seniors, Pastor, because everything has changed in a hurry in 18 months. What's your specific word for older people about what the country's gone through and where it's going?
You know, Hugh, I've seen that especially among senior adults, there's a lot of worry, a lot of fear out there right now. You know, what if I catch the virus? What if I die? What if, what if, what if, what if? And, you know, there's a great prescription in the New Testament. Paul said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. A friend of mine says, take out a piece of paper, put at the top my worry list, list everything you can think of to worry about. It may take two or three pages. Then when you've exhausted it, go to the top of your page, scratch out the word worry, and put the word prayer. Turn your worry list into your prayer list. That's what Paul says. Don't worry. Instead, pray, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's a great word. I want to close on this. I applaud you. You got the vaccine early like I did. You tell people that you got the vaccine. And are you going to get the booster, or have you already had the booster?
I'm in the process.
Yeah, I'm going to get it, I think, today. I'm eligible as of today. I think it's been 6 months. I'm going to go get in line. Did anyone in your church get mad at you for getting vaccinated?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And look, I tell people being a Christian doesn't mean being stupid. You know, when I get on the freeway every morning, I pray for my safety, but I also buckle my seatbelt. And I think we need to do the same thing with this vaccine and see it as a gift from God. If we believe in the sanctity of life, we ought to protect life inside the womb, but also life outside the womb.
Pastor, that's such a great word. Did you get, you know, you get a lot of attention whenever you supported President Trump. Any of the legacy media pay much attention to your getting vaccinated and getting the booster?
Yes, quite a bit, actually. You know, like I said, pro and con, but it's the right thing to do, I think. And I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to President Trump for having the foresight to do Operation Warp Speed. And I think, you know, Joe Biden's doing the best he can in getting it distributed. This isn't a Republican or Democrat issue, Hugh. It's an American issue.
Pastor Jeffress, well said. That was really worth it. Invincible's going to sell and sell and sell and sell. So congratulations on Invincible. A good word well spoken is it's just wonderful to have. Thank you, Pastor.
Always enjoy being with you. Thanks, you.
One of the upbeat guys out there, and I like upbeat people. I believe in encouraging audiences.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.